Well, like Ryan had mentioned yesterday, we're doing a series of studies that are based out of 1 and 2 Kings about the life of these kings of Israel and Judah. And today we're going to look at the story of one of the best kings the southern kingdom of Judah ever had. His name is Hezekiah. And we'll be talking about him both this morning and this evening. He's often compared to Israel's greatest king, David, as a man after God's own heart. His story, it spans three chapters in the book of 2 Kings, which is 2 Kings 18 through 20, four chapters in the book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 29 through 32, and then several mentions in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet, chapter 36 through 39. So there's a lot of space devoted to this one king, more than the other kings that are mentioned in 1 and 2 Kings, except for Solomon himself. A quick background of Hezekiah's story to just kind of set us into the context of him. At the end of David's life, and this is a little bit of a repeat of what Ryan talked with us about yesterday, but at the end of David's life, his son Solomon succeeded him as king, and he reigned over Israel for 40 years. And then Solomon's son Rehoboam succeeded him as king, but shortly after Rehoboam became king, a civil war broke out that divided the country into a northern kingdom made up of 10 of the tribes, and it would be known as Israel, and a southern kingdom made up of the remaining two tribes, which would be known as Judah. So we are in this phase of the divided kingdom of Israel and Judah. The people of the northern kingdom were led by one bad king after another, and the country strayed further and further away from the Lord. Judah also suffered under the leadership of some really bad kings, but they were also blessed with the leadership of a few good kings. Judah suffered greatly under the leadership of Hezekiah's father, King Ahaz. When Hezekiah took the throne from his father, Ahaz, the country was on the verge of complete collapse. Politically, Judah was a virtual slave to the Assyrians because Ahaz had agreed to pay them tribute money to keep them from attacking Judah and coming in and just destroying them. Economically, Judah was bankrupt from spending all of their treasure and wealth paying off the Assyrians. Ahaz had not only emptied the country's treasuries, but also stripped all of the gold and other things of value from the temple of the Lord to pay off the Assyrians. Emotionally, Judah as a people were depressed and discouraged. They were beaten down and lifeless. They had no hope. They had no purpose. They had no vision. They only had this looming, sick feeling of eventual destruction by their enemy, Assyria. Spiritually, Judah, under the leadership of Ahaz, replaced the worship of the Lord with the worship of these pagan idol gods of the peoples around them. They imitated the despicable religious practices of these other cultures, even going so far as participating in sacrificing their children into the fires for these pagan gods. Now, obviously, Hezekiah was not the child that Ahaz had sacrificed into the fires, right, because he's alive, but one of his other children. It was typically a baby. Right after they were born, they would take this child and offer it into the fire as a sacrifice to these gods. When we learn about these kind of practices, we understand why God had the Israelites wipe these cultures out. Because you go, yeah, that was just so sick and messed up. There's no recovering from something like that. Well, fortunately for Judah, Hezekiah was not at all like his father. Hezekiah loved the Lord, and under his leadership, he turned the people back to the Lord, and a great revival began in the country of Judah. In verse 1 of 2 Kings 18 is where we pick the story up this morning, if you have your Bibles. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. It says, in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that's the northern kingdom, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, the southern kingdom, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah, not Zechariah the prophet. It says Hezekiah's mother is a woman named Abijah, and it's unfortunate, I think, that there is no information available about this woman other than her name. I would really like to know more about her, since she probably is the one who was influential in Hezekiah's life in making him such a devout follower of the Lord. It clearly was not his father, Ahaz, who had any kind of positive influence in his son's life. But thank God for good moms, amen. Verse 3 says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. So in usual fashion, with what we see in the books of 1 and 2 Kings, Hezekiah's character is the first thing mentioned about him, and this is what is typical with all of the kings in these two books. It says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. David is the measuring stick by which all of the other kings are judged. The majority of the kings were not like David, but Hezekiah is the exception. He's one of the rare ones. He loved the Lord. He sought to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, like his father David had done. One of the first things that Hezekiah does after taking over as king is he eliminates these pagan religious practices that the people had been following under his father's reign. It says he removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made. Now, we can read about other kings of Judah who were considered good kings, and most of them, they stopped short of eliminating all of the pagan religious stuff, a qualifier that is tacked on to the assessment of most of these other kings' lives. Usually says something like, the high places, however, were not removed. That's always a knock against even the good kings in Judah. When we get to Hezekiah, though, there is no qualifier because he eliminated everything that was contrary to the worship of the Lord. The high places. This reverse refers to the religious shrines and altars that were used in the worship of these pagan gods. These shrines were typically built on the hilltops in the areas. The common belief was that the higher you were, the closer you were to God. That was even carried over into Europe with the Gothic period, for example. The reason they built those churches so high was the higher the church, the closer they were to God, which is all superstition, by the way. And it's sad that we see that was the origins of it were in these pagan religions of these high places that were to be torn down. Well, Hezekiah, he eliminated these high places, these shrines. Sacred stones, these were special stones that the people honored, or monuments to these various pagan gods. They usually had some kind of inscriptions on them. Hezekiah smashed these stones to pieces. The Asherah poles. Asherah was a fertility goddess of the Canaanites and the Amorites. The Asherah poles were totems erected to represent this goddess, and Hezekiah, he cut them down and he burned them. And then Moses' bronze snake, this is an interesting one really, because while the Israelites were traveling in the desert wilderness after the Lord delivered them from slavery to the Egyptians, you may remember, they began to incessantly complain against the Lord and Moses, and it says that the Lord sent poisonous snakes into their camp, which began biting and killing the people. And then the people, they realized that they had sinned, and they start crying out to Moses, asking him to pray for them, asking the Lord to help them against these poisonous snakes. And the Lord told Moses to make a snake out of bronze and put it on this pole. And then anyone who was bitten by a poisonous snake, they were to look at this bronze snake on the pole, and then they would be healed. Do you guys sort of remember that story? Well, that bronze snake is what's mentioned here. The people had apparently hung on to that bronze snake, and they have made it into a god. Made into a god, and they were burning incense to it and worshiping it. And it reminds me of Romans 1:21, where Paul writes, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles." That's dead on, isn't it? I mean, instead of worshiping God himself, they're worshiping this bronze snake that God had told them to make in order to be an instrument for them to be healed from these poisonous snakes. Verse 5 says, "Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. From watchtower to fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory." There is no higher praise that could be given to a leader than what is said about Hezekiah in this passage, really. In verse 5, it says, "There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him." What was it about Hezekiah that made him such a great leader and a good king and just a good human being? Well, there's four things that are mentioned here. It says he trusted in the Lord. He held fast to the Lord. And I like the way the New American Standard translates this. It says that he clung to the Lord. He did not stop following the Lord. He kept the commands of the Lord. And the result was that the Lord was with him, it tells us in verse 7 here. It says he was successful in whatever he undertook. He was victorious over his enemies. It says here that he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. His father Ahaz, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, had sold Judah into virtual slavery to the Assyrians by paying them protection money. Hezekiah, he stops making those payments. He stops paying that tribute money. Hezekiah was saying through that action is that he and the people of Judah are going to trust the Lord as their protector rather than this pagan king. And then finally it says he defeated the Philistines. During his father Ahaz's rule, the Philistines had attacked Judah and invaded into their territory and had been taking a lot of their land from them. And it says here that Hezekiah, he went to war against the Philistines and took all of that land back. And then finally, verse 9 through 12, it says here, "In King Hezekiah's fourth year, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, marched against Samaria," the northern kingdom of Israel. It's hard sometimes because they kind of keep flipping around. Samaria equals Israel equals the northern kingdom, Judah, Jerusalem, that's the southern kingdom. Samaria is the capital of the northern kingdom. That's why it refers to Samaria here. But he marched against Samaria and laid siege to it. At the end of 3 years, the Assyrians took it. So Samaria was captured in Hezekiah's sixth year, which was the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. The king of Assyria deported Israel to Assyria and settled them in all of these other places. This happened because they had not obeyed the Lord their God, but had violated his covenant, all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. They neither listened to the commands nor carried them out. What we've just read here is the demise of that northern kingdom. This is when they cease to exist. And as Ryan had shared with us a story last night, they had turned away from the Lord. They had not been following him. And then all of these years just kept going. And here's when the hammer finally drops. This is a short summary of their final plight that we have here. In the final verse, verse 12, it reminds us about why this happened to them. That they didn't obey the Lord, they didn't follow his commands, they were unfaithful to him, they were worshiping these pagan gods of the peoples around them, following their religious practices. Now, I want to close right here and let us take a break, but I want to make some quick closing remark here, is that we're going to see that Hezekiah is not a perfect person. It's one of the things I like about Hezekiah's story is that he's not perfect, even though what we've read so far, we go, this guy is the golden son, man. I mean, he's got it all together. But we're going to learn that he's not, that he's got troubles too. He's not perfect. He'll have his moments of doubt and stupidity and sin. But the overall tenor of his life is found in the description of him that's given in verses 5 and 6 that we've read here, that he trusted in the Lord. He held fast to the Lord. He did not stop following the Lord, and he kept the commands of the Lord. And we want to do the same in our own life, right? We're not perfect, but what's the tenor of our life? Are we trusting in the Lord, holding fast to him, following him, keeping his commands? If we are, the Lord will be with us, giving us success over the enemies of our soul and building the character of Jesus in our life.